And overwhelmed with doubts and fear, pray, God, do thou my spirit cheer. Let not my eyes with tears be fed, but to the
draw your attention this morning to the 90th division of the psalm. And I'm going to start reading in verse 9 of Psalm chapter 9. The word of the Lord says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." The scriptures have a multitude of things to say about time. We, of course, one of the more important things that we must understand about time is that there's some things that took place before time, and there's some things that the Lord has told us about when time shall cease. In the midst of the subject of time, there's no way to discuss the subject without acknowledging that the scriptures have plainly told us that before time began, that God had a purpose and grace for every blood-bought child of God. In the book of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul explains salvation and says that the Lord Jesus Christ hath saved us and called us, not according to our own works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the Lord struck the go clock on time, the Scripture says that He gave us a purpose And that he chose us, and that we were his before he spread the starry sky, before he ever started time. He secured a home in heaven for his children. It was not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose in grace. And it was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know, Genesis chapter 1 records the beginning of what we know to be time. And the scripture says, in the beginning, God. What was present at the beginning of when the time clock started? God was present at the beginning. He's not a created being. He's always been, and he's in eternal existence. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the scripture plainly says that upon the finishing of that day, that the evening and the morning were the first day. That was the first day. I know that there's a lot of people that are well-meaning that try to find a reason to get along with anybody that they can, that will say that you can believe what the Bible says about creation and also agree with what the science, falsely so-called world, would teach us about evolution of this day. But there is no way to reconcile those two things. The scripture plainly says that the evening and the morning were the first day. That was the beginning of time, and it was one day. It was not a multitude of billions of years. You cannot reconcile those two parts. Won't work. You know, I'm not saying, people say, Brother Will, don't you think that we should live peaceably with all men? Amen and amen. But I want to tell you, eventually, if you want to try to make peace with those two statements and try to encamp both under the same tent, one's going to run out of room at some point in time. There's going to have to be some elbow bumping, and there's going to have to be some moving out of the way at some stage, because there's just no way that those two statements are always going to reconcile with one another. Either the Bible is right, or either the evolutionists are right. And I charge you to encourage you to believe what the scriptures say about time and about how it was created. The scriptures teach us about what took place before time. Tells us how time was established. Tells us what takes place after time, after the world ends. And that is that there's an eternal place of bliss for the children of God. And it's eternal, and that there is no time there. There's not a point in time whenever eternal life is going to end for the blood-bought children of God. It's something that will go on forever and ever. It'll exist forever. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his prayer in John chapter 17, said, as thou hast given him power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. How long is eternal? It's forever. It's forever. So whenever we see that the subject of time, whenever we approach the subject of time today, and what's on my heart and in my mind is not about the things that the Lord secured in time and things that only in his time he could do, but instead about our time and about reasons why we should acknowledge our day and our time that we have here in this world. There's some things that Scripture has plainly taught us about what the Lord secured and gave us before time began and secured for us for eternal after this world ends. But there's some things that take place in the course of our life that the Lord has plainly said and set forth and encouraged us and charged us to acknowledge the day that we live in. You know, the Moses, who I believe is the man that penned the 90th Psalm by the inspiration of God, says that our years are a tale that is told. That means that there's some things that's going to take place during the course of our life. And our years are a tale that is told. There's a dash at every cemetery that you go to, except you're looking at the grave of an infant that passed before he ever was able to breathe the breath of life in this world, even though he certainly lived in his mother's womb, except there's a dash that's on those headstones. And that dash represents the time that a person lives and is alive in this day and time. And if the Lord will be with us today, I'd like to look at three different reasons why the Scripture gives us that we should acknowledge the day in which we live. Acknowledging the day that we live. Why it's important not to just say that I've got time, but instead of saying I've got time, but to acknowledge the day that we live in. Today is the day that the Lord has given us. Today is the last day that you're sure that you're going to be here. You understand that? Today is the only day, the last day that you're sure. Because none of us know about tomorrow. None of us know about tomorrow. There's a hope that lives in us about the one who has tomorrow in our hands. But you and I can only be sure of today. So what can we do? What are some of the reasons why we should acknowledge the day that we live in? The first reason is given to us here in these series of verses that I've read to you is so that we would apply our hearts unto wisdom. The last verse that I've read to you, and if I accidentally refer to the 90th Psalm at some stage in the course of trying to speak on this subject is saying that the psalmist David said something, please forgive me. I believe Moses penned this, but I believe it with every ounce of my being. But it might just have, out of habit, out of saying that the psalmist David says something. Moses penned this, but the scripture says that he's requesting and crying to God to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Whenever he says to number our days, he's saying help us to acknowledge and be able to recognize that we're not going to be here forever, that we're not going to always exist. You know, there's some people that just believe that they're invincible, that they'll always be around, that there's nothing that can defeat them, that there's nothing that can knock them over, that there's nothing that can kill them. They taste and tempt death over and over and over again. You know, one of the things that I have to make sure that the channel doesn't stop on around our house is that channel on TV where it's a constant running of accidents that's recorded. And they show people in skateboard accidents and biking accidents and seeing stupid people jump off a roof into a 4-foot pool and so on and so forth. And they show the things that they do. And every once in a while, whenever I'm not paying attention, I'll see my kids gazed up at that foolishness. You know, a lot of them know what they're doing whenever they try it, but they believe they're invincible. They believe that none of those things that they're doing whenever they've got a 50-mile-an-hour car coming towards them and they're going to try to jump it right at the last minute whenever they get to it. They don't sense any sense of fear at all. They don't have any respect for the day that they've been given today. They think that they're just invisible. But the scripture says, Moses said, teach us to number our years and to recognize that the Lord thy God has given us today. And he's given us today as a day to serve him, a day to apply ourselves and to be wise. I ask you today, any of those descriptions that I just gave you, those people on the TV show, did the word wisdom ever cross your mind that they were very wise? Or did foolishness cross your mind? I know enough about the folks I'm standing before today to know better. And to know that didn't cross your mind as being, man, that's a good idea to try. I ain't never thought about that. That's a good idea to try. I'll try to jump a car. I'll try to jump off a roof into a swimming pool. I'll try. No, all of that's foolishness. So the scripture says that because we need to number our years and we need to acknowledge our days because that we may apply ourselves unto wisdom and conduct ourselves in wise, profitable things while we have a chance to. You know, one of the things that we can fall in the mistake of doing if we don't recognize that the Lord has told us to acknowledge the day for wisdom and to use it for profitable, wise things is that we'll try to make time for the foolishness, you see. We'll try to make time if we don't recognize that it's today that we have and not tomorrow. Then we'll have the potential to put off till tomorrow things, wise, profitable things that we need to get done today. Things that need to be done today and don't need to wait until tomorrow. But you know, our minds is certainly being a product of our Adamic nature can always try to convince us that you can wait until tomorrow to do that. You can wait until tomorrow to do what you know you need to do because you've always got tomorrow. But the scripture says that we would apply ourselves unto wisdom today. Apply ourselves unto wisdom today. Teach us to number our days so that we can apply ourselves unto wisdom. Go over with me to the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus in the New Testament. And let's look here at what the Apostle Paul told the church at Ephesus in regards to time. Look with me in the 5th chapter. It says I'll start in verse 15. I'll read just verses 15 and 16 for the sake of time. The scripture says, see then that you walk circumspectly. And when the scripture is telling you to walk circumspectly, if you recognize, if you remember from your math class days, what a circumference is, it's a description of a shape, of a circle. And it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, see that you walk aware of your surroundings in a full circle. And you say, Brother Will, don't you think that if we walk looking backwards, that we're going to run into something in front of us. I didn't say to walk looking backwards. But if you don't need to be don't think you need to be aware of what all is going on around you. You know, there's a lot of people that just don't want to be aware of everything that's going on around them. They want to think that everything's just hunky-dory, everything's just fine, and that there's no wickedness and meanness in the world, that there's only innocence. And whenever they enter into life with that attitude, they're not being circumspectly of what's going on around them. You know, there's a reason why this day and time that it's very challenging and difficult to find a community that you can live in, where like in the old days you can let your kids get off the school bus a half mile down the road and walk home to your house. And it's because of the perverts and wicked people that live in this world that would harm those children. And so do you think it would be very circumspectly of us if we're not aware of our surroundings enough to know that we need to be there to look after our children? The Apostle Paul is saying, walk in this world being aware of what's going on in it. Being aware of it. Not bogged down in it to the point that it becomes a distress to you, but being aware of it. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In other words, he's saying that you need to take advantage of the time that you have and apply them to wise things. You know, he would tell the church at Colossae, he said, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. And in other words, taking advantage of the time that you have to teach people and to be around them, those that are without, meaning those that aren't in the household of faith, redeeming the time that you have with them. You know, we'll get to this subject a little bit more later on, but as I usually do, sometimes I mention things before I get to the main part of the message that really focuses on these things. But you know, redeeming the time, parents with children. You know, there's an awful fearful thought that can come to our minds if we're approaching the time that our children are about to leave our homes. And all of a sudden we recognize the multitude of things that they're not aware of and that we haven't taught them. You know, it's a humbling birthday that we're fixing to approach around my house next month. 9. When you say 9, what is the significance of the 9th birthday? Well, in my mind, I know that that's halfway to my oldest son is going to be out of home. And I'm not saying I'm going to run him out, but he's probably going to go to college at 18 like a lot of other people do, or go get a job and go. He's going to be in a lot of ways an adult at that age. And I got that halfway point, and it's something that's humbling to you. Are you on the right pace to have him prepared? Am I redeeming the time with my child so that he'll be able to walk circumspectly and aware of things that are going on in this world so that it doesn't consume him whenever he's put out to the wolves, as opposed to being under the protection of his mom and dad? See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. The scripture says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. And in other words, those that are without the household of faith, take advantage of the time that you have with them so that you can be an influence to them and they'll follow you in the way of God more perfectly. He's saying, redeem the time that you have with them for wise things. What's one reason to acknowledge the day in which we live is to do wise things, and that is so that we wouldn't waste our time on things that are unprofitable. And you say, Brother Will, give me a list of things that are unprofitable. I am not. I've already mentioned several of them, but there may be some things that's near and dear to you that I look at as being awful unprofitable to me. You know, Brother Kevin and I were joking about golf a couple of weeks ago. Whenever I get done playing it, because I'm no good and I am mad and I have not behaved myself appropriately on the course of it, I look back on the time I was there and say, man, I wasted some time. But you know, it may not be that way with everybody. So I'm just saying that there's some things that we need to do to redeem the day that we live in. Acknowledge today. Acknowledge it for the purpose of doing wise things with your time. There's another reason why the scriptures teach us that we should acknowledge the day that we live. Go with me over to the book of Ezra in the 9th chapter. Old Testament book of Ezra. We know that for the sake of time, it'd be hard to give the full setting of of the context of the verse I'm about to read to you, but what you have here is that Ezra the scribe has penned a time, has penned about a time when the Israelite people were released from captivity at this time, Medo-Persian captivity, and were sent back to the homeland. And were given an opportunity by God to reestablish themselves as a people. They were given a second chance. You know, we believe in a second chance God. You know, a lot of people would hear that, and if you don't take the time to explain the context of the chances, you know, I heard a man preaching on the Lord giving us an opportunity and giving us a second chance, and there was a deacon there that night that just thought he had just preached the biggest missionary Baptist gospel regeneration sermon that he had ever heard. And it's because he missed the whole part where the preacher was explaining that this is timely context, we understand. Eternal context is not something that God has ever left to chance. If he had ever left it to chance, he'd left it to us. But he didn't leave it to us. He secured it in the hand of his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, where it is secure and there is no chance about it. I'm talking about things here in time. He gave them a second chance. He gave a people that had gone into captivity because of their own hard-heartedness, own hard-headedness, because of their own rebellion against God. They were consumed in a captivity and taken to a land that was not theirs and had to dwell in a foreign land. But the Lord, by His mercy, gave a privilege for some of them to return to have a second chance at serving God. And the scripture says at the beginning of the ninth chapter of the book of Ezra that having been given this second chance, that when these things were done, I'm going to have to read it in verse 1 because I can't say it better than the Lord can say it. So you'll just have to bear with me as we read through these verses to summarize the state of the setting. It says, now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites had not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. They came to him and said, Ezra, the people have again been given the second chance by God to serve Him, have gone back into the state of sin that got them in the trouble that they got in the first place. It all started back in the days of Solomon when Solomon loved many strange women and he began to bring those nationalities and to interwind them with the people of God, and they began to serve the gods of all those other lands that were around them because of the strange women that Solomon loved, and having been given the second chance to come back and to serve the living God and to not mingle with the troubles and trials of this world, they again fell into the same sin. They again fell into the same sin that got them in the trouble. It got them in trouble to start off with. The princes came to him and said, they have not separated themselves. They have not separated themselves. You know, one of the things that the people of God should always understand is that God's ways will not mingle with the ways of this world. They will not mingle. It won't work. It didn't work then. It won't work now. And any time that we're not able to separate ourselves from it, it didn't mean that the Israelites had to condemn those people that were involved in the lands around them to an eternal torment, that they were not children of God amongst them, but they had ways that would not work in the service of God. The scripture plainly teaches us that there were children of God among them, because the scripture plainly teaches us that there's children of God in every nation, kindred, and tongue. There were blood-bought children of God in the midst of those nations around them, but the Lord still told them and said, you do not mingle in their ways, because their ways are not my ways. He gave His ways unto the people of Israel. He gave His ways unto the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He warns us about times that you would intermingle them and come under the condemnation of our Father in heaven. You know, He says here, go down with me to verse 8, where Ezra summarizes what God gave them in this second chance. He says, and now for a little space, grace hath been shown, shewed from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. He said, the Lord gave us a little bit of time to reestablish ourselves. The Lord gave us just a little bit of space, a little grace for a little space. That little space didn't mean just literal room on the ground. It meant He gave us grace for a little bit of time so that we would establish ourselves. He was going to bless us to come and rise again and be His people again. And He gave us that. But what did we do? We didn't acknowledge our day. We didn't acknowledge our time. We did not redeem the time. We did not take advantage of it for the service of God. Another reason why that we should acknowledge our day is to serve God today. Today. You know, a lot of people put off serving God. They've always got a little bit later on in life. You know, people think that serving God is an old folks thing. You know, whenever you go by the churchyard, a lot of churchyards today, what is the majority of the population? A lot of times it's going into the church. A bunch of old people is what a lot of people that would ride by would see. And it's because maybe old people have gotten, and you say, Brother Will, what is the cutoff age there? Not going to give that either. But you know, whenever people are facing their end years in life, some reality starts to set in that they have only got some time that they need to devote themselves to the service of the living God. Acknowledge your time today for the service of God. You know, there's always going to be excuses to serve God later. Serving next week. Got something going on this Sunday, serving next week. Got something going on around this meeting. We'll catch the next meeting. We'll do something a little bit later on. But I want to tell you, this lesson that's given to us in the book of Ezra will teach us that whenever the Lord opens up grace for a little bit of space of time, He's not opening it up for us to try to stretch His boundaries. He's opening up for us to serve Him in the space that He's given us. You know, there's a lot of us that have to look back on our time in life. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, and if it'll ever benefit a child of God, I'll keep telling it, that there was a time when this sinner that stands before you wasted a lot of time in my life. And I look back on it, and I regret every. Even in the midst of some of the good stories that are in the middle of it, some of the good stories are flooded because of the things that I wish would have never gone on, that I wish I would have never engaged in, that I wish I would have never wasted my time on. But the Lord, praise be unto Him, He gave me a little bit of space to give my family and I an opportunity to serve Him in His church. And you know, every time that I begin to take advantage of it, and you say, Brother Will, are you admitting that there's times where you take it? Which one of us wouldn't? Which one of us is going to stand here and say that I fulfill this imperfection today? That I am acknowledging today and I am perfectly serving God today? Well, you know what? You might not be in the right place today, because each and every one of us that are gathered here are acknowledged sinners here today, and none of us are perfect, and we won't be until the Lord redeems us and takes us home to be with Him in the sky. None of us are perfect. But I want to tell you, one of the things that pops into my, that the Lord every once in a while will shake you with, is He'll bring you into remembrance of where you were and the troubles and trials you had whenever you were living that way, and the things that you engaged in that you can recognize as being pure filth. And He'll bring you back to the realization that you better serve Him in the time that He's given you, because you don't know where you may be tomorrow. You don't know if the Lord's hand will be under you to sustain you, to give you that opportunity to serve Him this day. This day. Acknowledge the day for the service of God. You know, that's exactly what Mordecai said unto Esther whenever the king was calling, whenever she had the opportunity to go and to intervene on the king's behalf, on the people of God. We're going to start that comment over again. There's no other way to fix it. Whenever she had the opportunity, Esther had the opportunity to be the intercessor and to go between the king's wrath and the Jewish people. Mordecai told Esther, he said, who knows if the Lord hath not raised thee up for such a time as this? And the same thing goes with every single one of us. How do we know that the Lord has not raised us up for a specific time that we're going through today? You know, I want to tell you, we need to acknowledge the day for the service of God. We don't know if we'll have another opportunity. You don't know whenever you say, I'll just go to church next weekend, I'm not going to go this weekend. You don't know that next weekend will roll around and you'll have the opportunity to come to the house of God. You need to take advantage of it when the time that you've been given. And serve God in the day that you have. Serve God for the purpose, or acknowledge the day for the purpose of wisdom. Acknowledge the Lord for the purposes of a walk with God. You know, the last one I want to look at. Go with me over to the 39th Psalm. I love that sound, don't y'all? That's good sound. You know, There's a reason why the Lord encouraged us to leave the children in the church house during the sermon. What else? Wouldn't that be, and you know, at times when there's not one making that noise and we're all turning the Bible, doesn't it just feel like forever? Doesn't it just feel like nobody, what's the preacher waiting on? I'm there. Is there somebody else still flipping pages? I tell you, I'd rather listen to a baby making noise. I would. You know, that's a good saying. It says in the 39th Psalm, gives us a reason to acknowledge the day. It says in verse 4 of Psalm 39, the psalmist David pens and says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Another reason, and I know I've already mentioned this in passing, but there's some other verses that I want to talk about in relation to this reason to acknowledge the day, is because we don't know how, because we need to recognize how frail we are. We need to acknowledge the day today because we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what tomorrow brings. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 6 and the 34th verse, He said, take no thought of tomorrow, for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, the Lord has never discouraged us from preparing for the future. That's one of the worst ways to interpret what I'm trying to say to you today. I'm not telling you to forget about tomorrow, because you don't know if you have tomorrow, and don't buy life insurance, and don't put money in the savings account. Don't do stuff like that. Only live for today. That's not what I'm saying. Please don't leave here and say that Brother Will is against those sort of things. That'd be the wrong way to take it, and that would be some of the worst advice that I ever gave you. It's a scriptural and a biblical thing for people to take care of a rainy day in the future, if you will, and take care of the unknown in the future. And there's nothing wrong. But when does it tell us? It tells us to take care of today. It tells us to do it today. But he says, take no thought for tomorrow, for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, some people are completely consumed with the concern over the evil of tomorrow that they can't serve in the joy of the present today. They're in such fear that they don't have enough in that fund. You know, I've got some loved ones that they refuse to buy a pack of chewing gum. They refuse to buy a piece of candy for kids and so on and so forth, because they are worried that they're not putting enough aside for that day further down the road. They're completely consumed about the fear further on. But he says, acknowledge today, because you don't know what tomorrow will hold. You know, the wise man Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days are few. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. If there's anybody else in this world that deserves the best that you have more than God, please let me know after the service today. And if there's anybody here that won't acknowledge that there's times gone past when there were better days behind you, when you could have done more, when your mind was clear, when the evil days were for you, when they weren't consumed with so much because they weren't flooded with so much, then you let me know. But it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days are few. And in other words, serve, give God the best that you have. Give Him the best that you have. And you say, well, I'm old. What's the best? The best you have is today. Give it to Him today. Give the Lord the best that you have. Acknowledge today. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. You know, in regards to serving the Lord in your youth, in the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah wrote and said in Lamentations chapter 3, he said, it's good for a man to bear his yoke in his youth. It's good for a man to bear his yoke in his youth. You know, and you say, what yoke do you think? I think it's the same yoke that the Lord Jesus Christ talks about in Matthew chapter 11. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It's good for a man to learn God's ways while he's young, and it'll save him from a multitude of trouble. Think of the financial trouble that a lot of people would be saved from if they had the tools of the book of Proverbs to be able to apply to their day-to-day use of money. Think of the Think of the toils and troubles of a strange woman that men could be saved from if they had the wisdom of the book of Proverbs, which is flooded with lessons about the danger of a strange woman. I tell you, it's flooded with it. And it's a good thing that a man would bear his yoke and his youth so that he would know those things, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. I tell you, the scriptures encourage us to acknowledge the day that we're in. Acknowledge it and redeem the day that we're in. You know, I find myself as I prayed about this subject of, the humbling thought of how frail I am, that I may know how frail I am. How many of us go to sleep at night without making sure we've told those closest to us that we love them? It'll make you make it a point to tell them as opposed to falling asleep. I've gotten where I'm so tired at night, a lot of times I fall asleep before I have an opportunity. They're still up whenever I fall asleep. I had the best intentions of telling them, but they went to bed after I fell asleep in that good old man's place on the couch, and falling asleep. But I want to tell you, I can remember my aunt, who is my daddy's half-sister, my youngest aunt, that my daddy's stepdaddy, who was her daddy, he passed away when she was 15 years old. And, I know this is certainly not a story mutually exclusive to her. I know that there's others of you that can relate to this, but, she says with a tear in her eye today that she can remember, whenever she left to go to school that day, her daddy doing the daddy thing and wanting to give his little girl, a hug and some sugar. And, a lot of men look at that today, and until you have a daughter, you don't understand what that is. you don't understand what a daughter's love is to a daddy, really and truly, until you have your own little girl, and then you'll know a little bit about it. I saw how Brother Sam looked at Sister Tanya come across the parking lot here the other day, and I told Brother Luke, I said, you don't know what that look is yet. but one of these days, you'll know what that look is. But nevertheless, he was doing that thing with her, and she scooted out the door, and she didn't hug him. She didn't hug him. Just playing the little cat game like she played. And he passed away during that day. Passed away. And why do we need to acknowledge the day? Because we need to recognize how frail we are. We don't know if we have another day here. Praise be unto the Lord that we can understand this lesson. Brother Will's not telling you to make a choice today, and that if you don't acknowledge how frail you are, that you need to make a choice, because if you don't make a choice and you leave and have not made the choice, you'll burn in torment for having not made it in an eternal hell. That's not what this purpose is about, of acknowledging the day. We went to I ain't got time to tell that story. But nevertheless, we see so many instructions throughout the Word of God that teach us about time. Proverbs chapter 21 tells 27 verse 1 tells us to boast not thyself against tomorrow. Not to boast about what you may do tomorrow, because you don't know if tomorrow will be here. You don't know that. Acknowledge it today. Let's close by going over to James chapter 4, and I'll close here in mentioning what James says about our time here. Says in verse 13 of James chapter 4 that go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. The old saying goes, that the Apostle Paul must have been a Southerner. And I know the Apostle Paul didn't write this, but the Apostle Paul writes and tells us, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the joy which shall be revealed in us. And we see that the Apostle Paul used the word reckon, and most of the time when you hear that word today, it's used among Southern folks. They still say, I reckon, or I reckon this, I reckon that. Well, what it teaches me is that not that the Apostle Paul was a Southerner, but that a lot of our ancestors before us were Bible reading people and that used Bible language. And this is another saying that I heard all my life. And it wasn't until one Sunday at Bethany Primitive Baptist Church that Brother Lonnie mentioned this verse that I said, that's in the Bible. You know, I'd heard my parents and grandparents all my life say that I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. I'll be there tomorrow, Lord willing. I mean, how many times have we heard that? And why do they say that? It's because James said that you should say, for that ye ought to say, verse 15, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Lord willing, we'll get to do those things. Lord willing, we'll have a tomorrow. But the only thing that we know we have is today. Let us, for the purposes of wisdom, for service to God, and because of our frailty, acknowledge the day that we have today. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Today is the day that the Lord has given us. Today is the day that we have the opportunity to walk in wisdom towards those that are without. Today is the day that we have an opportunity to love those that are near and dear to us. Today is the opportunity that we have to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. Today is the day that we have these things. Help us to acknowledge the day. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
What shall I be?